Thank you for that reading, Cole. We are continuing what we've been talking about. We've been talking about being a new creation. We've been talking about the fact that we were created for action, that we are a part of God's eternal plan, and we play a role in making a difference in God's world and for His kingdom. But what we've kind of transitioned to talking about is, while that's great, you know, in general and from, you know, a thousand miles out looking down, that's the broad picture you get. Once you zoom in, what does that look like in the day to day? What does that look like as something I can do right now for the sake of the kingdom? And different sermons, they apply to different people in different ways. One of the things that sometimes is difficult is preaching in such a way that everyone, no matter what stage of their life, is able to benefit from it. We're going to be talking today about family and about having children and about parents. And there are, not everyone in here is a parent, but you know, I think everyone in here is a child, or at least was at some point. And you know, you had or have parents. But family is something that it might be experienced differently for each one of us in here, but it is something that the Bible speaks quite a bit to. And so as we go through, I hope we can find things that are beneficial for us, regardless of where we are with respect to our families or how old we are, or maybe things that we could consider or think about for the future, or things that we can try to implement now. But the passage that was just read comes from the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, I think, is a really helpful book for when it comes to how to actually live with wisdom in a world that is so often chaotic and crazy. And if we're looking for ways to be active in our family, that's a helpful thing to know. It is helpful because the world hasn't gotten less crazy. The world that we live in is chaotic, and it's always vying for our time, and it's always vying for our allegiance and vying for our emotions and all these things. And we want to raise a family, or we want to be part of a family in the midst of a chaotic world. It is helpful to know, what are things that I can do here and now to protect my family from some of the craziness of the world? What are some things that I can do right now to experience the joys of godly contentment with my family, even in the midst of a chaotic world? And I think the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about that. One of the ways you know Proverbs is written to impact the way we think about family is, like, the first 9 chapters of it are this lengthy introduction. You don't really get to the Proverbs of Solomon until chapter 10. Once you get to chapter 10, it says the Proverbs of Solomon, and then it just starts proverb after proverb after proverb, this huge list. But the first 9 chapters is an introduction expressing the value of wisdom. But it's written from a father to a son that is trying to guide and lead and prepare his son for life in a chaotic and crazy world. And it's written in the context of family. It's written in the context of guiding and of teaching, of parental leadership, and a child learning to follow his parents. Like, it is written in that context. So the Proverbs are wonderful, but they are structured in such a way that it's a book for family. It's a book for learning how to live with wisdom in the midst of a crazy and chaotic world. The passage that was just read, it begins the book of Proverbs after this introduction about the value of wisdom. He says, "So hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments around your neck." It's like the wisdom and the guidance that you get from parents is something that can help prepare you for a good, successful, and virtuous life. That idea that starts the book, it continues over and over again. As you read through the beginning of each chapter that follows, these are some of the lines you'll see at the beginning of the chapters. "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandment within you," and then he goes on, or, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Hear, O sons, the instructions of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding. My son, give attention to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding. My son, keep my words and treasure my commandments within you." So as you go through Proverbs, you see that over and over again, there's this reminder, this call to actually listen to your parents, to listen to your father, to heed the instruction of your father and your mother, because there's great value in it. So I want to quick note to the youngsters in here, you know, the children, the teenagers, take that seriously. You, if you have parents, have a resource that is God-given, that is supposed to be tremendously valuable for your understanding of the world and for how you are to grow and be a part of it. And your parents aren't perfect, but here's what can sometimes happen when you come to that realization that your parents aren't perfect. You could focus so much on those imperfections that you forget that you actually do have a very valuable resource you could be learning from and gaining wisdom from. I know a lot of people who are older and whose parents are no longer with them who wish that they could hear just a little bit more from their parents, who wish they could have another conversation, who wish that they could have some of these moments again. I really do want to encourage you to take advantage of them. They are beneficial to you. But there's also instructions in the Bible, you know, about parents and about children. Paul writes a couple of things regarding the way that fathers teach and guide their children. And there's some, I think, helpful things to consider here also. For example, in Ephesians 6, Paul writes to fathers, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up at the discipline and instruction of the Lord." You know, we talked a little bit this morning in our Bible class about, I used an illustration that said, if I made my neighbor angry, and I talked about how I can't actually like go into his heart and flip a switch and just automatically, supernaturally make him angry, but I can do stuff that he'll respond to with anger, and I have a pretty good idea what type of stuff I can do to make a person respond with anger. You know, as parents, if you know your kids, you probably know pretty well the types of things you can do to make them respond with anger. And Paul's giving a warning to parents here, to fathers here specifically, don't do that type of thing. Try to raise and guide them in a way that doesn't just constantly provoke to anger. You know, we just went through all that big list of Proverbs, and all the way through it, it's hear my instruction, listen to my teaching. There's a way to do that that constantly promotes friction when it's done from an attitude of superiority and done with an attitude of arrogance or done with a hostile hand. And there's also ways of humbly and lovingly offering guidance. And I think here's what Paul is trying to describe, not guiding in such a way that constantly leads to anger, but something that, yes, includes discipline, includes training and instruction, but it's also the instruction of the Lord. You know, of all the things that you can do for your children, there's not much that's better than helping them grow up to have a healthy view of God and a healthy perspective of the Lord. Paul says it a different way in Colossians, where he says, "Fathers, do not exacerbate your children." Or don't wear them down. Don't wear them out with your constant badgering them and correcting them and all of that, so that they will not lose heart. You know, it's a difficult balance when you're given this task of being like the guide and the teacher and the one who's in charge of discipline, and yet you also are supposed to do so in such a way that they flourish under it rather than are worn out and exhausted under it. And, you know, one of the reasons that I'm preaching this is because I can look into my own life and I can see very much times when that balance is not balanced. You know, it's out of whack. And maybe I'm leaning too far on this side or this side. And so it's a helpful and important reminder to me as to what my goal and my job and my role is. I think there's a lot of things that we can do for our family. But one of those things that you see repeatedly, at least in the passages that we've just read, is to be a teacher. Be a guide. That actually is one of our responsibilities as parents, to be a teacher and a guide. But there are a lot of ways that you can teach and you can guide someone. Some of them are healthier than others. Some of them are more effective than others. But here's what I would suggest, just a couple of ideas. One, you are going to have the job of correcting sometimes. Especially at certain ages of your kids, there's going to be a lot of correction that takes place, right? Do that. You have to correct. That's an important part of this thing. But I would also say, if you notice that 90% of your interactions with your children are correction, you might be getting that balance off a little bit. If every time they see you, they're expecting, oh, here it comes, then we might be, maybe they just need to fix their, no, that's what I do to console myself and pat myself on the back. I think, yeah, I'm correcting all the time. It's because you keep getting out of alignment. No, but if you find yourself always on one side of these things, then you might be getting close to what Paul is saying when he says, don't wear out your children so that they lose heart. Don't provoke them to anger. Like, recognize that there's more to your job than simply correcting from the sidelines. And you just look and you say, do this and this and this. Do that differently. You did that poorly. There's also the idea of informing them. You know, helping them grow in some of the things that you've learned over the years. Some of the things that you've experienced. Try to pass some of those things along. Try to have conversations where those types of things are discussed. You know, everything that we've read so far, you need three things for that to happen. One, you need teaching. Like, you need a parent who's actually doing the talking and doing the leading and doing some teaching. You also need a child who is listening, and that puts a responsibility on them. They do have the responsibility to listen, right? But there's also, and this is the third one that sometimes gets neglected, time. You need time for those things to happen. And if you're not setting aside time for enjoying one another's company, for having conversations, if your schedule is so rigorous that you don't have time for one another, then as a parent who's in charge of the schedule, you got to make some changes. This is actually an essential part of your divine, God-given task, is to be someone who, yeah, you can correct your children, but correction sometimes we just do in the midst of a thousand other things. We're running from thing to thing. We say, stop that, knock that off, cut it out. But there's also time for informing, and that usually doesn't just happen as you're heading out the door, you know? That's something that takes a little bit of time with one another. Also encourage. Encouraging is a really important form of teaching, where you're not even necessarily trying to impart new information, but you're encouraging and uplifting and strengthening them in what they already know to do and what is already right. When you see them doing well, let them know they're doing well. When you see something that they could have done worse and they didn't, let them know that you saw that. Don't be afraid to tell your children you're proud of them. Don't wait for them to have reached a measure of excellence that is deemed worthy of your love before you let them know you love them. Let them know you love them. Let them know you're proud of them. Encourage them in what they do. And also lead them. Lead them through who you are and through your actions. Lead them through the things that you do and bring them along with you as you do things, particularly, especially things that will be helpful in life, things that will be helpful for the kingdom, things that show the lordship of Jesus in your actions. Be a leader. Be someone who your children can look up to and strive to demonstrate that. Now, again, in every one of these things, you're not going to get it perfect. Children aren't going to get it perfect. No family gets all of this worked out perfectly. But it is helpful to actually stop and think about these goals from time to time. It's helpful to stop and think, when's the last time that I actually encouraged my child rather than just correcting my child? When's the last time that I made time to have conversations? You know, one of the things, we'll talk about it here in just a second. One of the things that we should be striving to do as leaders of households, especially as parents, is to create and facilitate an environment within our homes where children can flourish and where you can flourish. One of the things that I enjoy doing from time to time is I enjoy reading the works of different like monks or different people who have committed their lives to like the Benedictine traditions and rule of Saint Benedict or different monastic traditions, because I do think that while I'm not a monastic and I'm not planning on moving to a monastery anytime soon, I do think that there's a particular view of life, there's a practice of the disciplines, there's a perspective on the world that is so radically different than what we have when you get just caught up in the hustle and bustle of everyday life. It's important to stop and think about people who have committed their lives to a different style and a different rhythm. And I enjoy doing that. And one of the things that I've noticed is that just about everything that they'll commit themselves to very often are very helpful things that should be a more active part of our lives. The reason I say that is because if you're trying to facilitate a home, an environment for flourishing, there's a few things that I pulled from the Rule of St. Benedict that I think if we would actually apply to our families and our lives, they'd be really, really helpful for us. So as we think about those things, one thing that we should make time to do is listen. Have dinner with one another and listen. Put the phone down and listen. That's actually something I think I do well at trying to make time to listen to my kids. I do think I do that well, but here's what I don't do well. I think I want to talk to them about their day. I want them to tell me stuff. We do a thing at dinner time. I think Lauren got this started, but it's called High, Low, and Buffalo. When we're sitting around the table, and the high, you tell the high part of your day. Like, it's the best thing that happened today. Low, you tell the low part of your day. And Buffalo is just random. Tell us something random that happened in your day. And we try to do things like that. And I pick them up from school. Like, this is something that I care about. But what I notice myself doing is I'm great at listening at the times that I have made in my schedule to listen. But sometimes what I've noticed is when they're wanting to talk isn't always the time that I've set aside to listen. And when they talk and I'm not ready to listen because I'm in the middle of something else, I get bugged. I'm like, hold on, stop it. No. And what you don't want is for when your kids are opening up and willing to talk to you, they constantly find that your phone or this thing that you're working on or playing with or this hobby, that these other things take priority over me right now. I'm not saying that there's never a time where they have to hold on for a minute. That's part of life too. But make sure that as your children come up to talk to you, as you're trying to build relationships and facilitate and create a healthy environment in your home, that listening isn't only done when it's convenient for you, but that sometimes you set down what you're doing in order to listen. Because I've also noticed sometimes when I want to listen, they don't want to talk. And so getting those things lined up properly, not always easy, but being flexible as a listener, probably an important trait for us to work on. I'd also say pray with one another. Again, all of these things, they take speaking, they take listening, and they take time in order to happen. Make time to pray with your children. If you're not in the habit of that, no better time to start than today praying with your children. Yeah, there are certain prayers, like before meals. I think those are important also. But pray with your children before bedtime. Pray with them as they have a difficult thing coming up at school or something you know they're concerned or anxious about. You can correct and tell them, we'll do it this way and do it this way, and you did that wrong. But perhaps a better thing to do when they are going through something that is challenging or when they haven't handled something properly is to hold them by the hand and say a prayer with them. Let them see that that's a real option and something that is a guiding principle to set the rhythm of your life. Prayer is the first thing you go to when you're having troubles or when you're excited or when you wake up in the morning or when you go to bed at night. Make that a regular, vibrant part of your relationship. Serve. If you want a healthy home, if you want a home that's founded on good, godly principles, make it a home where service takes place. Service, yes, towards one another, but also service towards those in the community, service towards the church. If you're going to get involved in things, I think there's a lot of wonderful things to get involved in, make sure one of them is geared not towards just your own excellence or your own benefit or getting ahead, but also towards service of others and putting other people. That sort of humility and that sort of example is probably going to have a greater impact than anything you could say to them about service. Going out and serving with them, going out and joining together in helping for some other cause that's bigger than yourself. Play. I think this is a wonderfully important thing. And again, I got this from the rule book of St. Benedict. But this is an important part of life, even for adults, is play, laugh, and have fun and be active and do things and do silly things and like, but make time for nonsense with your kids. Nonsense is very helpful sometimes. It's wonderful. And if, again, your schedule's so wound up so tight you can't do that, you're in charge of the schedule. Make the hard decisions to make sure that you and your family have time for play, for nonsense, for relaxing, or what we might call Sabbath. People who, you know, read the Bible, I'm not saying you necessarily have to take every Saturday and, you know, get out your law of Torah and, you know, work everything out perfectly, but take very seriously the idea that God, as he created a nation of people, he wanted there to be a day where they were not consumed by accomplishing a new thing. And you know what? Things were still all right. Sabbath helps build trust in God, that even if I dedicate time to my family and to worshiping God and to relaxing and recuperation and rest, like even if I dedicate time to that, the world's not going to fall apart because it doesn't actually depend on me. There are other things that are bigger and beyond me. And Sabbath is a really wonderful way to remember that. It's a wonderful way to have peace in your life. I really like the Lord's Supper thoughts that we had just a moment ago from Brother Hafer. The idea of it don't matter. You know, it's like there are things that matter. And we talked about some of those things. But I'll say the more things that matter to you really matter and that eat you up at, you know, keep you up at night, the more things you're just inviting stress and worry and frustration into your life, and that's not a healthy environment. You don't want kids growing up in a house where there's constant pressure and anxiety and worry about tomorrow. Let them have just peace. And you know what? I think the more peace that you have, the more Sabbath you have, the more play you have, the more time there is to listen, the more time there is to serve and pray. Like it kind of overflows into all of these other areas. But how are you going to get peace? You can't just, I mean, can you just right now be at peace by sheer tyranny of will? Like, give yourself peace? I don't know about that. But you can make changes in your schedule. You can, over time, begin to realize and remember there are things that don't matter, that I've been treating like they are first priority issues. And you know what? They're actually not. We're all still alive and healthy. Even if these things don't happen, we all still have a future and a hope, even if we don't do these things. And you come to realize there are so many things that this world uses to cause anxiety and frustration, and it leads into anger and bad relationships, when the fewer things that count, the better. In fact, Jesus, with Mary and Martha, says, there's really only one, you know, only one thing that really, you know, you have one person who's so fixated on getting the dishes done and getting everything all perfect for the guests. And Jesus says, you know, actually, not all of those things matter as much as you think they do. Having a house that's 80% clean, or instead of 100% clean, or like, you know, 20% clean or whatever, like you can still live and thrive as a human. And you don't have to stay constantly worried and anxious about all the things. Have peace. Show hospitality. I think that is one of the most beautiful things that you can do as a family, to show that other people matter and to open yourselves up to quality relationships with others, is to open up your home. Have people sit at your table. Invite people. And showing hospitality is a way of showing children, especially, that other people matter, that relationships matter, and that we're going to make time and effort for others. And I would also say, make your house a house of worship. I would include within that coming to worship. If you're here right now, wonderful job. Pat on the back to you. Excellent. But also, see if you can make worship a regular part of your home life. Sing songs to God. Maybe set aside time for family devotionals where you talk either about a scripture, or there's tools and things that can help with this sort of thing, you know, whether it's books or devotional books, children's books. There's a lot of things that you can use that would be helpful to you setting aside time to remember and to contemplate what matters most. But every one of these things can only be done through purposeful and intentional effort to make these a regular part of our lives. They probably won't happen as you just mindlessly go with the flow of life. Surprisingly, mindlessly going with the flow of life tends to lead to more anxiety. You tend to forget some of the things that matter most. You end up getting more frustrated with one another. But if you can set aside intentional time for what matters most, I think it'll be a blessing to you and a blessing to your family. I think it'll help you do some of those Proverbs things. It'll make you a better listener, and you being a better listener might just open up the door to your kids being better at talking to you about what matters most. So here's the challenge as we bring our lesson to a close. Be present, purposeful, and attentive to your family this week. That might mean putting the phone down. It might mean having a meal together. It might mean having one less thing on the schedule so that you guys can spend time with one another, playing, being silly, talking about what's important, praying, any of these things that we've talked about. But look at where you are and find what changes you can make to ensure that you have more purposeful, present, and attentive relationships. And there's no one on this earth, and there's no being in all of existence that is more important to have a relationship with than God. And if you're wanting to have a relationship that will help you as a parent, your walk with God is the most important thing you can do and prioritize. And if we can help anyone here this morning, whether it's by becoming a Christian or receiving some of the prayers and help of the church, we'd love to help in any way that we can. If we could pray for you and encourage you, you can talk to some of our elders in the library in the back, or you can come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.